epiphanies.
Part of the community. The next idea.
Good ideas normally come from the collision between smaller hunches so that they form something bigger than themselves.
Innovation centers can come in all sizes, shapes, and locations. That's the message from a recent grand prize winner in this year's Accelerate Michigan Startup Competition. Orbion Space Technology snagged a prize of $500,000 plus services from sponsors. The company makes propulsion technology for small satellites, and it's headed up by a professor at Michigan Technological University in Houghton. He is here with us now. Dr. Brad King, pleasure to welcome you to The Next Idea.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So for our listeners, a little Satellite 101, if you will, how do they traditionally work, and how is your system different?
So our system isn't different in how it functions. It's different mostly in its size. Satellites have been around for a long time. Typically, they've been the size of school buses. They've cost so much money that only nation states or giant corporations can afford them. So their functionality was limited. But over the past probably 5 years, there's been a sea change, and satellites now are small enough to hold in your hand. They're called nanosatellites. So we're focusing on bringing large satellite technology down to these vehicles that are the size of something that fits in your hand, down to the size of your dishwasher.
Who would be putting these nanosatellites into orbit?
Well, that's what's exciting. This is commercial space now. So the cost to build and launch a nanosatellite is now about the same as the cost to build and launch a software app. So what that's done is created dozens or hundreds of garage hacker startup businesses that are trying to come up with the next idea for how to revolutionize their corner of the business world using space. So it feels a lot like the internet revolution. So who's going to use these? We don't quite know, but the potentials are huge.
I'm curious, do you need a permit or something to put a satellite into orbit?
Well, that's part of the excitement as well. No, it's really the wild, wild west out there. Anyone can put a satellite anywhere, anytime they want, and there's no regulation. So that's a little bit scary from a regulation standpoint, but from an entrepreneur standpoint, it smells a whole lot like opportunity.
It sure does. So that is the new space business ecosystem. I saw that interesting phrase on Orbion Space Technologies' website.
Yeah, what we mean by that, by this new space revolution, is within about the next 7 years, 5 to 7 years, there will be upwards of 10,000 small satellites launched into orbit by commercial companies. So this is more than the satellites that have ever been launched by man since the dawn of the space age, and it's happening in the next 5 to 7 years. So we call this the new space age.
And what would be the purposes of these satellites that you can envision?
One is satellite imagery. So we've been taking pictures of the Earth from satellites for a long time with impressive resolution. Typically, the way it works is you have one or two satellites taking pictures, and that satellite can, say, take a picture of your house, but it's not going to pass over your house again for a number of days. So at best, you can get an image every few days. With these small satellites, we have companies like Planet, Black Sky Global, who are flying hundreds of imaging satellites. And what this changes is now you can get an image of anywhere on the surface of the Earth once every hour, with enough detail to tell the make and model of cars. So you could, for instance, if you want to monitor consumer spending, you could count every car in every Walmart parking lot everywhere on the Earth once every hour and track traffic flow. Other things you can do, you can image every coal pile everywhere in the Earth, measure its size every hour, and monitor when to buy or sell your coal future trading. Other things other than imagery is communications. There's a company called OneWeb right now, led by Richard Branson, that's planning to fly 950 satellites that will give global wireless internet coverage. So everywhere on the Earth will suddenly have the ultimate Wi-Fi, and the other 3 billion that aren't connected will instantly have internet connectivity. So these are just a couple of the ways it's going to be used.
You're blowing some minds here as you're listing all these possibilities, Brad. What could Michigan's role be in this new space business ecosystem?
What we like to say is when people think of space, they think of Silicon Valley, they think of Florida, they think of California. What we like to say is Michigan is as close to outer space as anywhere on the planet. So why not here? And what this looks like is kind of a vehicle revolution. There is a need for thousands of new types of vehicles. They need to be manufactured, and there needs to be a supply chain set up. And that's what Michigan's fantastic at. So at its core, although we build xenon plasma thrusters that sound sexy and exotic, really what we're doing is we're building engines here in Michigan. We're building engines for a new demand in vehicles. Michigan was recently ranked, I think, the second most favorable state in the country to do aerospace business. We're going to be a big player.
Talk about your experience with the Accelerate Michigan competition. How did you happen to enter it?
We were aware that it was happening, and we knew it was a premier event, but we've got our heads down working and a lot of things going on. So it wasn't really on our radar. A couple of the participants in it, some of the organizers and judges, prodded us a little bit and said, you guys really should come down to this. And we said, yeah, you're right. You know, let's pause and go. And we're obviously delighted that we did. So not only did we make great connections there and learn a whole lot, we got lucky and walked away with the prize.
Now, what would that prize let you do?
Well, coincidentally, accelerate. That's exactly what we're going to do with it. Because the space market is happening so quickly, getting a product out there is paramount right now. So we had two choices with the extra funding that we got from the Accelerate competition. One is we could extend our runway a little bit longer and last for maybe 2 years instead of a year and a half before we need new investment. But what we've decided to do is to use this money to staff up and decrease our time to market.
Brad, people have, I dare say, certain ideas about what an innovation hub is, usually a big city or on one of the coasts. Here we have Michigan Tech, a small school in a small and somewhat isolated community, but two of the Accelerate winners were from there, and there's a lot of other advanced stuff that's coming out of there, even though it doesn't fit the traditional mold. In your opinion, what is it that's fueling creativity in the UP?
I don't know exactly, but there's one thing that Michigan Tech does very well. Every university has maybe a core vision statement that is supposed to drive the future of the university. And these statements are decided by committees with lots of hand-wringing, and people wonder if they're really valuable. One of the things Michigan Tech came up with is, at Michigan Tech, we create the future. And people thought long and hard about every word in that phrase, create the future. And the one that stands out is create. At Michigan Tech, we focus on building things and bringing applications to market and creating something. We're not analyzing the future. We're not thinking about the future. We're creating the future. So often the technological spin-offs that come out of Michigan Tech are closer to the business world. We're looking maybe 10 years out or 7 years out, and we think that's the sweet spot. So we like to think we know how to build things up here.
What's the biggest piece of advice you would give to other Michiganders trying to invent and market some kind of innovative idea?
Oh, geez. Maybe I would think of two pieces of advice, and only because this is what worked for me. The first is, you know, writers have a saying, write about what you know. In innovation, you need to stick with your strengths. We spent some time brainstorming, trying to think of all the opportunities that are out there and which opportunity had the best business potential. And that doesn't work because we're trying to map our skills onto an area we're not experts in. We circled around and said, okay, here's what we're good at. We're really good at propulsion, and there's a need for this. So if there is a need for what we're good at, it'll all work. If neither of those are true, it's not going to happen. The second thing I would say is get used to hearing no a lot. And if you believe in what you're doing, keep going. As we're raising money, talking with investors, it's like selling a house. 100 people are going to walk through, and it's just not going to be for them. The investors aren't quite going to see what excites them, and they're going to say no. And it's tempting to think, oh, my idea is horrible, I need to go home. That's not true. If you stick with it, sooner or later, you're going to find that buyer that sees the value that you can bring, and then you're off to the races. You only need one yes.
Dr. Brad King is a professor of mechanical engineering at Michigan Tech, where he's director of the Space Systems Research Group, and he's the CEO of Orbion Space Technology, which was a recent grand prize winner in this year's Accelerate Michigan Startup Competition. Brad, thank you so much for being with us on The Next Idea. It was great talking with you.
It was great to meet you as well. Thank you.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.